Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today we conclude the season of Advent with our sermon series, A Child Born for Us. In this series, we're exploring some of our favorite passages of the prophet Isaiah from both Jewish and Christian perspectives. Join us now for our message entitled, Dressed by Divinity. Good morning and welcome here to worship at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer. I'm the senior pastor.
And I'm Janice Elliott, and I'm filling in once again for Wesley McCall.
Wesley, we miss you. But Wesley, our music director, Wesley McCall, you'll want to know that he is recovering from his illness. No one else in the household has gotten sick. And so we wish him to continue to get well and get back here real soon. As usual, we'll be taking live prayer requests during our hour of worship today. If you have a joy or a concern or a blessing, just post it there to Facebook and we'll lift it up later in the service during our prayer time. Now, I wanted to mention something that happened this week. Some of you know this already, but we had someone from the neighborhood decided to help himself to our church's mail and stole some of our mail out of our mailbox. So if you want to mail something in the next few weeks, we do have a P.O. box for that to mail that is temporary, and you can contact me, and I'll be happy to give you that email box, or that post office box, rather. And so for now, don't mail any of your checks directly to the church. If you have been in the habit of mailing your checks, you might want to consider at this point going ahead and trying the Church Center app. It really works well, and you'll see various categories there that you can donate to. So for the time being, we will pray a prayer of blessing on our thief that maybe he'll have a change of heart over the holidays. In the meantime, we will just be safe and just don't be mailing your checks to the church over the next few weeks. The church study on social principles will not meet again until after the first of the year, but we're having a great time, so all of y'all are welcome to join us after the first of the year when we start meeting again. And I want to remind you one last time is running out. If you still want to be a part of the Pastor's Book Challenge of reading at least one book on race this year, you still have time. Just then get me your name and the name of the book you read, and in our next edition of the Trinity Times, you will be listed as one of the wonderful people that have met our pastor's challenge of reading at least one book on race this year. I want to remind you that we are also re-releasing our sermon series from last Advent called, retitled, Christmas in the First Person. Today, I believe we are going to be releasing The Shepherd on today's release. I also want to make sure and invite you to a very special service here on Facebook Live tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. We're going to have a Blue Christmas service. And if you're not familiar with that, a Blue Christmas service is simply a worship opportunity where we realize that sometimes the holidays are not always times of joy and mirth. Sometimes they can be times of sadness. And we felt as if that might be particularly true this year. So we're going to acknowledge that, but still wait together because we have faith that the light of Christ will come again. So join us tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, on Facebook Live for this Blue Christmas service. And then, of course, on the 24th, also join us here on Facebook Live for our Christmas Eve candlelight service, because it wouldn't be Christmas Eve without a candlelight service. Even if it is on Facebook, we're doing all our adjusting this year to make it work, but we will be worshiping on Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock, here on Facebook Live. And now let us enter into a spirit of worship and prayer as we light our Advent candles. And so pray with me. People of God, be glad. Your God delights in you, giving you joy for sadness, and turning the dark to light. Be strong in hope, therefore, for your God comes to save. You are God's children. Lord, make us one in the love of Christ, today and forever. And forever. Amen.
You're not lighting. I even pre-lit these.
This is why we love live broadcasts. So we can see we can see what little jokes the Holy Spirit has to play on us today.
They are not
lying. Well, get it really down deep in there. Okay, we will try to light the Advent candles later during our wonderful offertory, which will be after the sermon. In the meantime, just know that the light of Christ is with us, and we can't wait for Christmas Eve for us to be able to see that light coming into the world.
So thank now. Join us for our opening prayer. Lord of impending light, we rejoice in your compassion for us. You send us your light and your healing love so that we may become better representatives of you in this world, which cries for justice and peace. Be with us this morning, and we gather to hear your word for us. Amen. Amen.
And now we cannot be together in the same space. We are together in the same time. For my prayer for you is then, peace be with you.
And also with you. Now for our prayer of illumination. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen.
Amen.
Now, join us for the scripture. Our first one is going to be from Isaiah chapter 6, and these will be selected. Chapter 61, verses, unselected verses from there. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me, he has also sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, as the earth bring forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The next scripture is from Luke chapter 4. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Helping someone get dressed can be one of the most intimate interactions that one person can have with another. Though not always. I mean, sometimes it may not be anything more than just helping someone put on their coat. I remember when I was in junior high school, my friend Rhonda and I served as crew for the production of Godspell at our church, being put on by the high school and college students. Early in the musical, all of the cast, save two characters, must exit the stage, and then basically in the time it takes to sing one song, the entire cast must completely change costumes and be ready to re-enter the stage. Well, part of Rhonda's and mine's responsibilities was to be dressers in the women's dressing room. So backstage, we felt like that we were just moving 90 miles an hour as we zipped and unzipped costumes and tried to hand the right accessory to the right actor, and we helped put on hats with bobby pins and secure them and then just get out of the way so the cast could get back on stage on time. We must have put on Godspell probably dozens of times, but Rhonda and I never failed even once to get all of those actors into the right costume, back on the stage at the right time and ready for the next scene. And I might add, watching Godspell dozens of times gave us a great opportunity to memorize scripture. But of course, most of the time when we assist in dressing another, it's a far more personal experience. For the first several years of their lives, children are completely incapable of dressing themselves, and they require their caregivers to keep them clean and appropriately clothed. When a person is sick or recovering from surgery, for a while they may need help getting dressed. And if a person becomes permanently disabled, they may never be able to completely dress themselves again. Earlier this year, I was watching a documentary on the late great physicist Stephen Hawking. And for most of his adult life, he struggled with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Every day, he required considerable help just to get out of bed and get dressed in the morning. And it was the same at the end of the day, getting him back into bed. Eventually, over the years, he came to the point where he had virtually no control over his own body, and others had to do virtually everything for him. Well, we may never have to help a loved one get dressed for years on end, but for many of us, dressing a loved one may be one of the last services we offer before the end of life. I know many of us know what it's like to dress a spouse or a parent once they have reached the point where they can no longer care for themselves. It's exhausting and draining work, both physically and emotionally. But it's what we do for love. And long after we may not be able to have a conversation with them, we can finally, in a deeply intimate way, express our love to our loved one through dressing them and be able to express what the Bible calls steadfast love or agape love. Well, these types of images came to me as I read verse 10 found in today's reading from Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. This verse suggests to me a deep intimacy with God. We stand before God, naked and vulnerable, not unlike we do at the beginnings and the ends of our lives. But if we take seriously this imagery of God clothing us with garments of salvation, we can see salvation then as a pure act of grace. Salvation is God's work to do. It's not our work to do. Think of the infant or the very elderly and imagine the Lord gently and tenderly dressing them in their helplessness, doing for them what they cannot do for themselves, covering the shame and the guilt and the regrets, so allowing them therefore to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. In a way, thinking about God clothing us with garments of salvation has its mirror image in the incarnation, which is then God putting on the garments of human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, many Christian theologians, and this includes John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, they have seen a Trinitarian allusion in this first verse from Isaiah's chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Well, the Spirit then refers to the Holy Spirit, which emanates from the Lord God, which anoints me, which is seen as an allusion to the Messiah, that is, Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Well, Jesus certainly saw himself reflected in this passage from Isaiah, because he chose it as the scripture when he was asked to read there in the synagogue of his hometown, Nazareth. And after the reading, Luke tells us that he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Well, Jesus claims this Isaiah passage for himself, and that's how Christians have read it ever since then. Jesus is the one who is anointed, and that's what the word Messiah means. It's Hebrew for the anointed one, and I might add that the anointed one in Greek is the word Christ. So the anointed one is the one that has been set aside by God for special purposes, and these special purposes includes the mission of the anointed and what I have often referred to as the Jesus agenda that's outlined there in our Luke passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? To bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This explicit connection of Jesus with the Messiah, the anointed one, is why the original Isaiah passage has become associated with the season of Advent. Advent is when we await with anticipation for the coming of the Messiah so that the good news can be proclaimed. In Isaiah's original historical context, however, today's reading still, though, offers a proclamation of hope. The Isaiah text that we have explored so far during Advent, they all come from the first part of the book of Isaiah, reflecting then the teachings of the original 8th century prophet to the royal court there in the kingdom of Judah. But biblical scholars think that starting with chapter 40, we're reading the proclamations of a different prophet who lived approximately 200 years later. During these two centuries, the kingdom of Judah had been defeated by the Babylonians, and much of the population had been sent into exile into Babylon. So this later prophet, this later Isaiah, therefore, preaches messages of comfort and reconciliation and restoration to the Judahites that are now called Jews that were living in exile. This experience of exile was catastrophically traumatic for the Jews, and many believe that the Lord had abandoned them. These later passages from Isaiah, therefore, including today's reading, promise the Jews that God has not deserted them. In fact, God is going to restore them to the land of Judah and to Jerusalem. It's thought that today's reading may actually have been written after some of the exiles returned to Jerusalem. Once they were back, they realized just how hard it was going to be to rebuild the temple and to rebuild their lives. And so we've heard what these words sound like then coming from the mouth of Jesus. But then listen to them again and imagine them from the perspective of an exiled Jew who has just returned to their homeland to find nothing but ruins. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And then just a little bit later, it reads, they shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. You see, the Lord has not forgotten the covenant made with their ancestors and has not abandoned the Jews to despair. God will clothe them too with garments of salvation and restore their joy and make the land a garden once more. So this passage from Isaiah, it was fulfilled in the return of the exiles to the promised land in the 6th century before Christ. But then it was fulfilled again 600 years later in the coming of Christ and to those weary victims of Roman occupations who were the recipients of Christ's earthly ministry. And I think we can play a part in fulfilling them again once more in our own time. Whenever we participate in the mission of the Anointed One, the Jesus agenda, then we are fulfilling our destiny as the body of Christ. And so what is our mission today? Well, Jesus lays it right out for us there. It's to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And each facet of our mission has both spiritual and socioeconomic dimensions. Now, many of us can describe ourselves maybe as being poor in spirit or spiritually blind. Many of us are held captive or oppressed by traumas or addictions against which we now feel powerless. And Christ can and does release us from all that imprisons us. And the church has a very vital role in assisting people in becoming free from spiritual blindness and oppression. But we must not let that paper over the very real socioeconomic dimensions of the Jesus agenda. You see, the gospel is not just good news for those who are poor in spirit. It's good news for those who are poor in material goods. Christ came to free us from captivity to sin, but also from captivity to the oppressive forces in this world. In this last half of the 20th century, a new school of theology began to emerge, and it became known as liberation theology. Some of you may have heard of it. It emphasized the power of the gospel to make a very real difference in the world here and now for the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized. Very well, African-American theologian James Cone, he wrote a very influential book in 1970 entitled A Black Theology of Liberation. And in this book, he defined what he saw as the task of theology. He said, the task of theology then is to analyze the meaning of hope in God in such a way that the oppressed community of a given society will risk all for earthly freedom, a freedom made possible in the resurrection of Christ. You see, this dichotomy between the spiritual and the socioeconomic dimensions of the gospel are not an either-or choice. They're a both and. Jesus calls us to both, and the church is to work in the world to proclaim release from all kinds of captivity, spiritual, psychological, physical, socioeconomic, and political. And I think this is especially important in a year like we've just had, when the oppressive forces of physical disease, political division, economic hardship, and systemic racism have been made so prominent and prevalent in our society. And each one of these has a spiritual dimension as well that cannot be ignored. In fact, I would say it's not an either or even a both and choice. It's kind of like an all of the above choice. The good news is God's love in Christ Jesus in every area of our personal and corporate lives together. As Paul writes in the second letter to the Corinthians, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ to bring God's message of reconciliation to all people and in all aspects of life on earth. So as we eagerly await the advent of our Lord, the light that is coming into the world, we must never forget that God has always been active in the world, in all of its messiness and beauty, whether in the return of the exiles, in the incarnation of Christ, or in the challenges of a worldwide pandemic. So I can't think of a better time than for us to be about the business of proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Well, we got one of the candles lit. I'm not sure. Wesley, we really miss you. You seem to have some sort of special pull over these candles. But we did get our fourth candle lit, so symbolizing then the fourth Sunday of Advent. We want to be in special prayer for so many people there that are affected by COVID. One of my colleagues, Stan Copeland, who's the senior pastor at Lover's Lane UMC, just sent out yesterday that he's come down with COVID. And of course, we want to keep Wesley and Jenna and all their household in mind so that Wesley continues to recover and that no one else gets sick. I want to add another prayer, though, for Wesley's grandmother fell on the ice. I can't remember now if this was yesterday or the day before. She's 82 years old, and she fractured her skull. And she is in the hospital right now. Her name is Nancy Byerly. And so we want to make sure and pray for Nancy as she goes through this time. And hopefully she'll be able to recover fully and be able to come home for Christmas. And so for all of those then that we have just lifted up that are sick, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, you'll respond, hear our prayer. For all those names I've lifted up, Lord, in your mercy. We want to be continuing to pray for Anna UMC. That's a church here in our conference that just burned to the ground, I think the week before last. And so really nothing is left of the physical campus of this congregation anymore. And so in what's already been a very, very difficult year, we want to pray for the congregation there in Anna and for their pastor as they try to get through this holiday time together. So for Anna UMC and all the churches that are struggling out there, Lord, in your mercy. I want to say a special prayer for those who are grieving loved ones. It's always especially hard during the holiday season, and extra especially hard if this is the first holiday season without your loved one. So I want to keep all of those who have lost loved ones this last year in our prayers, and especially ones who've lost just recently. We know that Sally's father, Sally and Tony Anderson, Sally's father, Harold Boswell, died last week. And yesterday, I had the honor of attending the funeral of the longtime partner of Tom Waitchie's, Antoine Bufford, and to go to that service and be able to be there for Tom. Tom is a former pastor here at this church. And so we want to be praying those for all who are suffering in grief this holiday season. So Lord, in your mercy. Also then a prayer for my niece, the missionary, and her family. They had their tickets to go back to Papua New Guinea, but they couldn't get the government clearance in time to make the flight. So they're still at my sister's house, and I'm sorry, Lane, I never remember what city you live in. I think it's Grapevine. But they're still there, but they've now gotten permission from the government, but now they have to book flights again. So we'll see how that happens. So for Aaron and Kevin and the girls, as they go through this postponement of their renewal of their missionary life, Lord, in your mercy. And keep also in our prayers Asbury UMC. That's a church in Washington, D.C. You may have seen them in the news, but members of the Proud Boys, white supremacist organization, snatched down their Black Lives Matter sign in their banner. Can't remember now if it was, I think it was last week. We want to keep the people of Asbury and D.C. in their prayers, and all those churches then who have been vandalized by white supremacist groups. So for Asbury and those other congregations, Lord, in your mercy. And I want to turn specifically to the cards you've handed in. We actually got more blessing cards than we did prayer requests or concern cards today. So that's wonderful. But we do want to keep a friend of Tim Platt's in our prayers. Doug Lauf is healing, but Doug is currently in ICU. So we want to keep Doug in our prayers. So Lord, in your mercy. And then two prayers for Jan Noel. Just a prayer for a positive first foot appointment with her foot doctor this coming week. So Lord, in your mercy. But also, she wants to send up a prayer of thanksgiving that she had a good eye checkup and that her friend Donna's car has been repaired. And so for our joys, I say this is the work of the Lord, and please respond, thanks be to God. So for Jan and Donna, this is the work of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And Sheila Clift wants to send up a prayer of thanksgiving for all the Rufus E. Payne elementary students and staff that made it through this semester COVID-free. And so then a prayer of thanksgiving for all the students and staff and teachers out there that have had a very difficult semester that is now finally coming to their Christmas break. So a prayer of thanksgiving for all of those who made it through COVID-free. Lord, in your mercy. Or excuse me, this is the work of the Lord. And Melba, I hope you're out there. Melba Howard, today is her 100th birthday, or it will be on the 25th, a Christmas baby. This is Trish Williams' mom, and Melba has been joining us for worship these last several months on Facebook. So Melba, happy birthday. You have the same birthday as Jesus. How cool is that? And so it is our prayer then that your next year will be a much better year than the year you've just had. And that 2021 can be a much better year than 2020 was for all of us. And so a prayer of blessing then, Melba, on the next year of your life. And as we often do, I want to send up then a prayer of blessing for any offering we have received then in this last week for the ministry of our church. And I invite you, if you have not so far given a offering so far this week, to go to our website to make an offering there, or just go to our church center app. And so now, with the confidence of the children of God, let's pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, to remind you that you can always find a recording of this service on Facebook, on our website, tumcd.org, or on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. And you'll also find there as well our re-release of last year's Advent sermons, Today, the Shepherd, next week, the Other Wise Man. We want to thank our musician, Catherine Taylor. She's been here before, and who doesn't love harp music? Yes. Isn't that beautiful? So thank you, Catherine. We really appreciate that. And so now let us receive this benediction. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, anointing us to bring hope to all people. So go and prepare the way of the Lord of love. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace, love your neighbor, and wear a mask. We hope you enjoyed today's service and that you experienced God's blessings. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. Our preacher for the day will be our music director, Wesley McCall. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording of our service on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead and stay safe. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.